This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here on a football Sunday to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm staring at a football game right now, sitting beside a former NFL player, about to speak to another former NFL player. And then later in the hour, we'll speak to Ray McElrathbay, who is the subject of the Disney film. It's a great movie called Safety. They call him Ray Ray. And Ray Ray, the real Ray Ray, not the actor, will be with us in the second half hour of Gervie's Law. And if you've seen Disney movie Safety, you don't want to miss that. And even if you haven't, you don't want to miss it. So I want to welcome to Gervie's Law my guest co-host for this week, former NFL player, played for the Eagles, played for the Raiders, played for the 49ers, and played for Texas Tech in college.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, could be going to the Super Bowl against Brady.
You never know. That'll be a good one.
That's Joselio Hansen. Welcome back to Gervie's Law, Joselio.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for getting me out the house. I've been in the house since March, just bunkering down, waiting for this all to be over.
But you told me you played a little bit of golf, though. You got because you could stay 6 feet apart. You don't have to be in anyone's face in golf.
Yes, yeah, so golf is one of the sports where you can actually social distance a little bit. So my life has pretty much been drive to the golf course and drive back home.
it would have been really strange if you were playing in the NFL now. You know, you got guys on the sidelines wearing masks, and then they're hitting each other and tackling and everything without masks on.
That would have been tough. I don't know. I don't even know how I would be able to play without fans. I mean, the fans is part of the thing that pumps you up. Gets you when you run out that tunnel and you see your screaming fans screaming, whether it be home or away. Like even I think you get more pumped up with the away games because it's like you against the world.
Right.
So I don't know how they're doing it. They're in the NFC Championship. I'm looking at the AFC Championship right now, and there's barely anybody in the arena. That's tough.
Hey, it's called a stadium, Joselio. Arena, I think, is basketball.
I guess so.
Or hockey.
Sorry about that. It's been a while. I haven't been there.
But I know you're really interested in this first story because it takes place in South Lake, Texas, which is a place that you're very familiar with. You lived down the street?
I actually lived in Keller for like 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
How far is that from South Lake?
That might be 10 minutes from South Lake. And you know what? I have a lot of friends in Texas because I went to Texas Tech. So I have a lot of friends in the Dallas area. One of my best friends is there, Charles Johnson. So, I've heard stories about these type of things going on. So it'll be good to hear from Russell to see what
we're going to hear from him. It's interesting because you just said, you know, Patrick Mahomes went to Texas Tech. Yet you have a connection with the coach in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yes, McDermott, the head coach from the Buffalo Bills, was my defensive coordinator when I was on the Philadelphia Eagles. So, like I told you earlier, Andy Reid, he has a lot of branches that he just like lets fall off to different teams, and you know, a lot of coaches in the NFL came up under Andy Reid.
Joselio, you weren't the number one pick overall in the draft, were you?
No, I didn't even get drafted. So
we're going to talk to a former number one pick in the NFL draft. That was in 1991. Played defensive tackle for 10 seasons, mostly with the Cowboys, but also with the Raiders and the Packers. And I was happy to see the Packers lose today. Being a Vikings fan, anyone who plays the Packers is my second favorite team.
And I was happy to see Tom Brady win today. So you can nix all the Belichick is more the reason for the dynasty and all that stuff. So Remember, players on the field. Players are playing. That's coach right. is coach.
Good point. I don't think the coach is going to be happy with that statement, but that's okay. So Russell Maryland won three Super Bowls. He was a Pro Bowler in 1993. He started 140 of 154 games. That's pretty good. It's like an Ironman. He was the Outland Trophy winner when he was in college, Lineman of the Year. Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame in 2011. And, you know, he had an amazing career in both college and the pros. And now he's involved in a very interesting story. This takes place in Southlake, Texas, which is a very fine school district. It's known for its good schools. And I think Russell will probably tell us that he moved his family there for the schools. And 2 years ago, there were two videos that surfaced of high school students using racial slurs, and it went viral from this school district. And this group got together, joined on Russell, joined the Diversity Council to try and combat this. And, you know, in his words, it was disgusting. He had a son who's at Carroll Independent School District. And it's really interesting what happens in this story after this Diversity Council develops, and how there's a lawsuit. And, you know, we got Russell Maryland. Welcome to Gervie's Law. We want to talk about this. Is really fascinating stuff. Russell?
Hey guys. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Joselio?
Yes, Joselio right here. How you doing, man?
Nice. All right. Texas Tech, huh?
Yeah, Texas Tech, man. Yeah. Hey, why'd you guys have to beat up on my 49ers back in the day so bad in the 90s,
man? Because we hated them, that's why.
Man, okay. You guys had a good run, though.
Yeah, they had a good run. The 49ers were a well-coached team. You know, Steve Young, Jerry Rice. I mean, if there's somebody you want to play, those are the guys that you want to play to test your mettle and then take it on to the Super Bowl. So we had that a couple of times. I mean, in 94, you know, I remember the game when Coach Johnson said, "We're going to win this game." Mm-hmm. You can put that. He said it before the game. You can put it in 3-inch letters.
Yeah.
In the Dallas Morning News. And sure enough, the next day they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, Coach.
Yeah. Well, your generation really your generation really inspired me to make it to where I am today. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, Joselio, I appreciate that, man, so much. But, well, as far as you know, what's happening out here in Southlake, Northeast Tarrant County here, not too far from DFW Airport, is something, you know, where I come in all of this, you know, the video goes out, the kids are shouting the N-word, it's a group of them, and, you know, just chanting. They made up a cheer chant. You know, parents just become outraged.
Mm-hmm.
The video goes not just locally, but nationally. And everybody is embarrassed here, as they should be. You know, the Carroll ISD, the Independent School District, are embarrassed. The city's embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And a week later, they have a school board meeting, a special school board meeting, in which parents come and of African American kids mainly, and they come and give their testimonies of the bad things that have happened over the years to their kids leading up to 2018. You know, this stuff has been happening for years, and it just came to a head. It was the tip of the iceberg when that video came out 2 years ago. Well, I was asked by one of the school board members with tears in his eyes, mind you, please, Russell, help us. Please apply for an advisory council that we're creating called the District Diversity Council, or the DDC, and that was commissioned by the Carroll ISD School Board. It was 63 diverse members of us. We had teachers on that council, parents, students, school board trustees, city councilmen, everybody, young and old, black, white, South Asian. We had a very diverse group, and it was a big group, 63 members of this community of 30,000. And we were set to promote cultural competence and create a plan within our school district. Because everybody was so embarrassed, they asked us to do it, and we stepped up, us 63 members. Well, more members stepped up, but only 63 were chosen by the board. We stepped up, and we started on a plan. We worked on it 18 months. in good faith that this plan will be implemented and accepted and adopted by the Carroll ISD. And then we get to the finish line after working on this for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we get slapped in the face, man.
Well, wait a second. Slapped in the face. I read somewhere that you said it's like you're carrying the ball and your own team forces the fumble.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It was very reminiscent of the Leon Lett fumble
Pasadena
years ago, except for it wasn't Don Beebe that knocked the ball out of my guy Leon Lett's hands. It was somebody from our own team, you know. It would have been Ken Norton.
Ken Norton.
Just to knock it from Leon's hands, you know.
Yeah.
And that just was so deflating that our community has chosen to go this route.
Now, Russell, I want to read what the council suggested, because to me it almost seems ridiculous that what's being suggested is just logical, rational ways to deal with this. And it begs the question, what could be objected to? So the council suggested the district hire a director of equity and inclusion. And by the way, my kids' school have that. They go to a private school and they have a director of equity and inclusion and diversity. And it works out well. Establish a grievance system through which students can report discrimination, require cultural competency training, and audit the district curriculum through an equity lens, among several other recommendations that were made.
Yes.
What could someone object to? And I know the parents, some of them in that hearing and otherwise, were saying that this commission, this council, was trying to punish the rest of the community for the actions of a few teenagers, which is not the point, is it?
It's not the point at all. Along the lines, ever since August 3rd, when the school board of trustees really just sat on it and didn't vote to accept the plan, just only voted to receive it, and they ultimately rescinded it, then a whole horde of people came out and misrepresented what was in that plan, and they misrepresented the people that were on that DDC. They called us liberal leftists, had a socialist agenda, a Marxist agenda. Then they talked about, I don't know, they started talking about things like, you know, it's not cultural competence, it's critical race theory. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have to take a quick break, but I'm just going to say, as you're speaking, it sounds to me that that's really the racism, not what the council was pursuing, but what the response to the council was racist. But we're going to talk a little more about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky.
Yeah, we're having a good time right here on Gervie's Law. I'm here with Hozelio Hansen.
I love it.
Who's guest co-hosting.
I like the music.
It is good music. A former cornerback in the NFL, and you know, we were talking during the break that it was really the Cowboys in what, the early 90s, that got you into football and excited about being a football player.
Yes, the years Steve Young and Jerry Rice were doing their thing,
and Russell Maryland, of
Russell
course.
going up against their crazy offensive line and defensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. That was really got me going, like, and very excited about going out to my, you know, back then I was like probably in high school or something. So going out to the field and trying to be them. So
yeah.
It was, great time. I mean,
inspiring.
That's probably the glory days, right? NFL, I think so. The 90s were like that's
the glory days.
Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders,
Emmitt Smith,
Troy
Aikman.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was
Russell Maryland is with us, and we're going to talk about the situation in Southlake in a while. We kind of left it as a cliffhanger, kind of like the old television series Dallas used to do, a cliffhanger. We're really into Texas today, and of course you're Texas Tech sitting beside me here, Hozelio. But Russell, tell us what it's like to get ready for the Super Bowl. We have the Super Bowl coming up. You won three of them. And what kind of excitement is going through the mind, especially as we enter the second half of the Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game, trying to get to the big game?
Well, I tell you what, after that season ends and you know where you're going to be stacked up in the playoffs, the whole mindset has to change. I mean, you're already on the highest competition level anyway. But then that month, I remember Coach Johnson used to always tell us, you can hang by, I won't say the whole quote, for a month. And basically you say you just got to go after it and just take it to the next level. And we all did that. And we trusted each other that the guys weren't going to cut corners, weren't going to slack off in the weight room or in watching film, and that we were going to study and get ourselves ready week after week to get after it throughout the playoffs and make it to the big game.
Were you with the Cowboys in 96 too when they won? Or 95,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 95. That was the 96 Super Bowl against the Steelers. I was there. That was my last game with the Cowboys, and then I went on to the Raiders after that.
Did you like Jimmy Johnson better than, who did you enjoy playing for more?
I got you between Jimmy and Barry Switzer.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Coach Johnson, that's my guy. He brought me in, to the University of Miami, so I'm biased.
Okay.
I played for him 3 years at UM. And, 3 years at the Cowboys. And then my last 2 years were with Coach Switzer. Coach Switzer was a different personality. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Johnson, he ruled his team with the iron fist.
Okay.
Coach Switzer, he'd come and hug you and say, come on, guy, get it going.
Okay, yeah, I'm player's coach, so yeah.
Two different coaching styles, and I love them both. So nice. They were both great
coaches. Well, you won with them both, so I would love them too.
Yeah, I guess it's easy when you win. So you mentioned, Russell, about trusting each other as teammates. Tell us about the second part of this story with the council, the diversity council. They present all of this proposal. You're trusting each other that this is going to happen. And at the time, did you only you had one son at Carroll?
No. Actually, I had two girls that have already gone through. One, two graduated, and I have a son there now. So, I have three kids that have gone or are going through the system. And I tell you what, it's just, up until that point, I thought that our city would be that team. I look at things like that. We're on the same team. We're shooting for the same goals. We have a great football program, in which my son is a part of. Mm-hmm. And we have great academics. In the football program, they say protect the tradition. And they can say it because they are a winning program. The academic, the independent school district said, let's take that whole that thing too. Let's protect our tradition of academic excellence. But little did they understand that academic excellence wasn't just about academics. It's about making sure all the kids get what they need as far as proper schooling and
right. Getting ready for life.
Threat. Yes. So I wanted it to be a team, but then I just got disappointed because I felt that everybody on the team, especially those that are in power, weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing.
And tell us about the lawsuit that was filed and that the Tarrant County judge granted a restraining order to stop the plan from moving forward.
Well, I tell you what, it was sickening. We had an interim superintendent, and he had just posted a letter. He was an outside guy. He had only been there for a couple of weeks, and he saw what was happening, how the school board wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing, sitting on their butts, being inactive, and parents coming up and just bogging us down with a whole bunch of nonsense. And he called them out. And then shortly after, this temporary restraining order was put in place. And that caused us basically to stop everything that we were doing with our cultural competency action plan. And we haven't met, and it's been 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks, and we haven't been able to move forward. So that's just been so disappointing because when we came into this, all we were trying to do is what the school board asked us to do because of the horrific things that were being said to our kids, our minorities here in Carroll ISD. And now you got a faction, a subsegment, a small but vocal and well-funded subsegment of the community that are fighting progress. They don't want to see change, and that's it in a nutshell. Our school district is changing. You know, we have a lot more minorities that are moving in, but people seem like you know, what's changed between before 2018 and now? The school district is changing, and people are regressive. And you have to pick sides. You have to pick a side, Alan.
Hotelio. That's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah. They don't want to see the change. Yeah, they don't want to see it.
And to force
on the side of good.
And it's got to have an impact on the kids. They're there to get educated, and you know, granted, during the pandemic, it's tough and a lot of remote learning and stuff. But still, it's a community, and to fracture that community by seeing the adults not being able to put into place something that it's so important for the entire community.
I mean, at least a stronger code of conduct. I mean,
You know what? That's what we did. That's one of the first things we did. We were asked to do with our plan because our code of conduct was pretty weak and had been weak, you know, for the 59-year existence of our school district. And we strengthened the code of conduct, Joselio. But you know what I've seen is basically a city that wants to protect the reputation of being a great, excellent school district at the expense of our kids' experiences.
Wow. Okay.
That's what's happening right here. They're sitting on their butts. They're sitting on their hands. 63 members of our council, we stepped up when they asked us to step up. And now they're saying, well, hold up. We're not ready yet. Well, so, when are you going to be ready? When are you going to be on the right side of history?
Russell, we only have a couple minutes, and I want you to look into your crystal ball. I know it's tough to do, but how is this going to be reconciled in a way that's fair and equitable to everyone so the kids can focus on getting their education and that there's code of conduct, there's diversity plans in place? How are you going to move forward to get this done?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We just hired a new superintendent, a superintendent that was a part of the school district. He grew up in this school district. His last school district that he was in, he had a diversity and inclusion policy and curriculum there. He hired diversity and inclusion people there in the district. So it is my hope that through his leadership, because we have lacked that in the past, through his leadership, that we can finally get something going, because this is the bottom line. It's not just acceptable to just say that South Lake, Texas is not a racist town. Mm-hmm. All right. People got to step up. They're going to be a small group of people that don't want change, and they're going to never want change.
Yep.
But there's a group of people in the middle that's got to step up to prove by words and actions that they are not only not racist, but anti-racist. They got to fight against racism, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and yes, it's so important for the education and the well-being of the future, the kids. And that's really what the focus should be on. You know, I don't know what's going on from the legal issues there, but really, I think that someone's got to step up and realize this is for the kids and for the future generations.
And the parents of the kids that are saying those words have to step up, too, and parent better.
Definitely.
And,
yeah,
and hold their kids accountable and have those tough conversations with them growing up.
Like exactly.
You know, you got to do it. Got to step up.
That's for sure.
You
I mean, society is implementing it all over in colleges and professionals all over. So,
you know,
be done, guys.
Russell, so many people appreciate the work that you're putting in, the advocacy. You know, it's a bigger issue than just in South Lake. So all the best of luck as you move forward, and hopefully we'll hear some successful results moving forward. Before we let you go, real quickly, as a three-time Super Bowl champion, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, man. You know what? I tell you what, it depends on if my guy Kansas City is good. And I don't know. I think they're showing pretty good right now. I don't know if he's playing or not because I've been talking to you guys, but yeah, if they win, I think they're going to go get it again.
Kansas City Chiefs, There you have it. Russell Maryland, thank you so much for being with us on Gervie's Law today.
All right.
All right, Russell.
Guys.
See you, man.
Take it easy. All right, Jose Elio.
Take care. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Ray Ray from the movie Safety, the inspiration for safety. Don't miss it. You're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gurvey at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, welcome back to Gurvey's Law. I am Alan Gurvey, and I'm here with Hozelio Hansen, who's guest hosting today, and we're going to be talking about DBs, the secondary.
The most important positions in football.
How did you end up being a cornerback in the NFL, Hozelio?
Two words. It's a name. Deion Sanders. I watched him play back in the 90s and wanted to be him, wanted to emulate him. Wanted to play the same position as him, wanted to dress like him on the field, wear my gloves unstrapped like he did, you know.
You didn't dress like him when you were in high school.
I tried. on the field, not dress like him, like,
I mean, that's
outside.
He was pretty fashionable.
he had a lot more money than me. We'll probably still do now, but.
Yeah.
But on the field, you can kind of emulate your favorite players by the way they wear their socks. By the way, they wear their gloves. Oh, I had my chin strap, one of them unbuckled, like Deion did. So he really inspired me to play corner. And then once I got into it, I was pretty good at it. So.
You know, you said a couple important words. You said inspired you, and it made you want to be like him. And isn't it great that there's another story of our next guest that is inspiring a nation and inspiring so many people to be like him, not only on the field, but off the field, most importantly. The movie is called Safety. It's a Disney movie, and I know, Jose, you saw it last night. Mm. I've seen it. My 7 and 8-year-old kids watched it and loved it. Here's something that's said about it that's really important. It says, this is a review from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, go Vikings, by the way, that McElrath Bay's life doesn't fit the mold of your average inspiring sports movie is a good thing because it allows Safety to show that winning off the field is much more important than on.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think that really sums up.
It is. It is.
Ray's life and his times at Clemson as a Clemson Tiger redshirt freshman in 2006. He's the inspiration for the Disney movie Safety about Famar, which is his 11-year-old brother at the time that he took in because his mother, Tanya, had a drug addiction. And through the movie, you see the relationship, the special relationship between Famar and Ray Ray. And then he gets suspended by the NCAA and all the people that helped him, the teammates, the community, the people that came together to help Ray with Famar and the suspension, fighting the NCAA try to show that it was much more important that he took his 11-year-old brother in than some stupid football rules.
That was beautiful. If he would have went to another college, you never know if he would have got the same support that he got at Clemson. So you got to take your hats off to that college and, you know, those coaches and his teammates too. The teammates, you know, that was back in 2006. So they're older now, man. Shout out to them too for helping out, you know, that much, because it couldn't have been done if everybody was worried about themselves, which a lot of people do, just, you know.
So rather than the two of us talk about, let's bring Ray in here. Ray McElrath Bay, welcome to Gurvey's Law.
Hey, hey.
It's great to have you on. Did you ever think, and I know when you got the call that they were making a movie about your life story, at least at Clemson and with your brother, did you ever think that it would be as big as it has become today with Disney's Safety movie?
Oh, nothing like it. It's a blessing and it's a gift to have it all play out like it did. And it, I guess it was worth the wait because it was 14 years it took. And then when I thought about them doing it initially, I thought it was going to be like a C movie.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that was A plus plus.
A plus. And you know what the irony is? That I think a lot of people are seeing it now because we're all starved to see movies. And with the pandemic, with movie theaters being closed, did you ever think that it's one of the few choices that you have? I mean, you watch Soul and you watch Safety. Those are the two Disney movies that are both amazing movies. So there's a little bit of irony there that even with this pandemic, good things can come. And, you know, my kids learned so much from it, and it wasn't about football. Tell us how you have been able to inspire so many people with the story of taking your brother in.
For me, it was, I guess, second nature. It was how I said I was raised, in a sense, because when I came up, parents had me, I guess, look to them because my mom had her addiction. So I was used to looking after the people. And so I always look outward first and then work backwards to myself. And how that inspires others is just been amazing to me because I never thought something I was just doing would impact many other people.
Hey, Ray, what's up, man? It's O'Celly. How you doing, man? Pretty good, man. Yeah, shouts out to you for doing, you know, taking on that responsibility. I've been in college before, and I couldn't even think, like, what if I would have to take on that responsibility? It wouldn't be possible. Like I had it easy compared to what you went through, man. So, you know, shout out to you. I just got a question.
Well,
like,
I mean, yeah. you probably had it hard too. You went to college. You had to do everything else and be a student, and you have expectations on your life. Don't downplay your accomplishments.
I hear you. But man, hiding your brother in your dorm room, trying to make grades, trying to make it to practice on time, trying to learn the playbook. I mean, man, you accomplished a lot, man. I mean, I don't know, bro. I don't know if I could have.
You forgot one thing, and balancing a girlfriend. Was that real, or was that a creative license in the movie?
There was some creative license. Okay. She was a composite of several women I dated at the time, and not at the same time.
That's okay.
Throughout that year.
Hey, do you ever think about what could have been? Like, you know, I could have. Maybe if I didn't have a responsibility, I might have been in the league or had an NFL career. Or what do you think?
I had that moment. I had that moment up until the birth of my daughter.
Okay.
And with that happening, it gave me something to let everything go. Because it all that needed to happen for me to end up in the place I had my son.
Okay,
and then
great.
If I would have made it to the league, chances are I wouldn't have my son.
I
could have had a kid with another kid. I don't know. I don't love other kids, but not my son.
That's amazing, yeah.
So I guess they gave me the ability to let go a lot of things. But unfortunately, I know there's a lot of other guys who don't have something like that yet to let go that dream because it was tough.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I read that you had said that family is everything, and you had an opportunity to be a father, in a sense, before you really were a dad, and you had your teammates and the community who were a family to you. How did that prepare you for your family life now, as you talk so fondly about your son?
I mean, it's hard to compare in a sense because I was blessed to have a village. Not that my son doesn't have a village, but it's not as necessary as my village was coming up for me. So the stark contrast makes it hard to apply similar thought processes, but I guess the love is the same. Like all the people that love me, try to spread that same love. I try to get that same energy back because my most important mentors told me that's all I owe them was to, I guess, pass on to pay it forward.
How are you and your brother's relationship now? Does he really understand the magnitude of what you did for his life I know he's seen the movie now, so he may understand a little more. But
and he lived it.
And he lived it, yeah. So him being older now, and I don't know if he has kids or not now, but does he understand what his big brother did for him?
I think he had a good idea about it back then, because he knew when he asked me that it was highly unlikely.
Okay.
But he was at the end of his rope, so he was throwing stuff out there.
Okay.
But I think as he gets older, he'll understand it more. Mm-hmm. And like right now, we'll have a more contentious relationship than anything, because I want so much more for him, and I guess that's the parent part of me. I want so much more for him at this point that I feel like he wants for himself. And so I go back and forth with him, but I still love him. And understanding where I was at his age, I probably would get into it with myself. Okay. There was a lot of things I didn't do until I got older, and I'm still learning, so it's a process.
How's he doing now? You know, we see him in the film, at least the actor Thaddeus J. Mixon, who, by the way, Famar says did a great job playing him. I thought he was amazing. But how is your brother doing now, and how hard has it been, you know, growing up under these circumstances, obviously before the movie came out, but with your mother, who has fortunately been drug-free and has had her addiction under control? Is it still tough for him to move on and develop his own independence in his own life?
No, I believe it made him more independent than, I guess, me in a sense, because Famar has kind of been moving to the beat of his own since he was able to. I think he's been living by himself since he was 19, so he's been on his own for a little while. He goes back and forth, I guess, about what he wants to do with his life, but he's always been independent. So, and he was independent then, and even more now. I think he's doing well with everything that we came up with and all the things we overcame. So that's what I would say.
All right. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break, but we want to come back and talk a little bit more about what we learned from the film and how your life has changed and what you're doing now. We'll talk about Raise Safety Net Foundation and some of the things that you're doing now. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Well, I hope the rain isn't coming. We've had enough of this weekend here in L.A. But, you know, we're talking to Ray McElrath Bay, and I'll tell you, the movie Safety, based on his life story, at least through college. And I have to tell you, Ray, I really appreciate, I get a little choked up because my kids watched the film with me, watched the Disney movie Safety, and they were glued to the set. They're 6 and 8, soon to be 7 and 8. And it taught them so much. They didn't know, they didn't live a life, they don't live a life that you did. They have never been exposed to it. And I love the fact that this movie can expose kids who don't see this in their everyday life so that they can understand what kind of inspiration you were for your brother and what you had to do by putting family first. Tell me how it feels to be an inspiration to so many people, including, importantly, kids around the world.
It's a blessing for me. I'm humbled by it. I'm honored. I never imagined. And not for just being a regular person. I figured it would happen because I was an athlete and won the Heisman. But not just because of my character. No, I never imagined that.
Hey Ray, what's up, man? I got a quick question. So there was a part in the movie where Faymar was calling out plays in the film room. I just want to ask you, was that a true story, or was because if so, he should probably be coaching right now, coaching somewhere, you know, like Division One ball somewhere, coaching, you know. So I was just wondering, was that true? Because that was pretty cool to see.
There was some Disney magic in there. He did. They allowed him into the film rooms. Not all of the film rooms, but sometimes when we were watching films that we knew were going to be pretty okay to watch, he was allowed around. But they named the play after him for a check that we knew based on a formation if they were running a spread.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, it was a really cool scene, and it also begs the question, how much creative license was taken, because there are situations that obviously didn't occur. Tell us a little bit about when Faymar actually arrived at your dorm. He had come from Las Vegas, is that right? And I think in the film, Jay Reeves, who plays you, went... And by the way, you guys look exactly the same. It's really cool that they found an actor that looks so much like you. But he goes on a road trip in the weekend to pick him up from some, you know, difficult circumstances. How did it really go down, and what creative license was taken by Disney?
Well, in real life, Faymar came from Las Vegas. And my parents... Actually, the Disney creative license, they made the situation better than it was, because in Vegas, they stayed near the Strip in the Weekly Motel. And it didn't look like one of the better places you would want to raise kids. And it was a situation where, because it was a motel, that they often changed rooms, and it was basically one room, a living room, a suite. In a sense, at this Weekly Motel, it was like $100 a week for rent, and it wasn't that great. So I guess they softened it up a little bit, as well as the fact that a lot of stuff that addiction, that happens with addiction, the emotionally abuse, the physical abuse, can't be shown on Disney. It's a little bit too much.
Oh, interesting. You know, it's funny because people wouldn't think of that, that it was actually worse in real life, and they softened it. Did they consult with you at all? Did Jay Reeves, who plays you, did he talk to you while he was filming, or how did that all work?
Yes. I mean, even the guys that were auditioning to play me reached out. A lot of them did on Instagram or Facebook or something like that. With Jay, ironically, he lived less than 2 miles away from me in Los Angeles when he got the part.
Wow.
And so,
is there any other actors out there that we would know of that didn't get the part? That some famous guys we might know that auditioned for your part but didn't get it?
Audition plus scene I thought was interesting. Lil Yachty, the rapper.
Lil Yachty? Oh, Lil Yachty? Yeah. Okay, wow. He auditioned for the part?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Okay.
Yeah, he was cool.
He was cool?
It was interesting to me.
I don't think you guys really look alike, but...
we don't look alike.
At all, but...
that's funny. So bring us up to date now. You know, you mentioned L.A., and I want to hear about the Raise Safety Net Foundation, the trucking company Safety Freight, and some of the things that you've been doing. I know that, you know, you were working with some outreach when they contacted you. Tell us about what you're doing now and your family.
What I'm doing now, I'm kind of all over the place now. With the popularity from the movie, speaking is something I'm getting more into. It's something I would be doing after college initially, but it never came that way. I did some events, and I'll speak at some high schools and things like that, but not much as I'm requested to speak now. Then there's I guess my biggest new passion outside of, you know, the Safety Net Foundation is financial stability, because that's one of the pillars in the Safety Net Foundation. Because I think with that, it gives people a lot of freedom, and it can, you know, not cure all issues, but it can help with a lot of things that, people will call moments and situations that you find yourself in living life. So just teaching financial stability. And one way I would like to do that is to teach people to invest, not just in the stock market, but also into themselves.
Good point. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot on your plate. And your mother and brother has been involved with Raise Safety Net Foundation?
Yes, yes. I'm trying to get them to see the vision, in a sense, because where for me it was a lifestyle as the village is concerned. I come from a pretty large family, and so we're really close-knit, but they're not used to branching outside the family. And as I say, I don't meet strangers.
How can people check out Raise Safety Net Foundation?
Yes, the website, www.raysafetynet.com. You can go on the website. I have an Instagram and Facebook as well that you can contact me, and I'll be willing to give out any information and, I guess, collaborate, coordinate with anyone, because my thought process is that it's going to take a village. It's going to take all of us. So
yeah.
I'm willing to take on everybody. And whatever you can donate, whether it's time, knowledge, I'm
and
willing
money.
To take everything. And, yes, money as well. I'm trying to be of service to help others, and, you know, hopefully the energy I put out will come back.
You know, we got to let you run, but everyone's got to see the movie Safety, Disney. We really loved it, and we congratulate you for doing what you've done for the community, for your brother, and for the world in general. Ray Ray, thanks for being with us today.
No, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Great.
Coming back one time.
All right, Ray Ray, congrats, man.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
Joselio, thanks for being here. It's been so much fun. We haven't seen each other.
Thanks for having me.
We haven't golfed together for a while.
I know. When's the next tournament?
You
always invite me to
a
tournament.
They're all canceled. All the lawyers' tournaments are canceled.
Yeah, you always invite me every year. I'm waiting for that call.
Well, thanks. I will call you. When we have a tournament, I will call you. Who's going to win the Super Bowl real quick?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. All right. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. See you next week.
This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.